when I do get a chance to travel with my wife and my daughters, they like to carry a lot of stuff. They have, I said it. I ain't scared. But we carry a lot of stuff, and I like, you know, when you go through the airport, they before they allow you to get on the plane, they want to check your bags, and you know, the stuff that you have in your bags, the more foreign objects that you have in your bag, you know, they run it through this little X-ray machine. And so when we go through, and then you got to go through the body machine where they, you know, they scan you. And so we kind of talk and we kind of laugh at one another because we say, who's going to get checked? Who's going to get stopped? Who's going to get pulled aside this time? And, you know, we just kind of have this little wager going back and forth. Who's going to get stopped? Oh, it's going to be you today. Oh, you're going to get stopped. And so what I like to do is I like to get into a separate line. I like to get on the other line, and I like to either get ahead of them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I like to get ahead of my wife and my girls because, you know, I just know they got a lot of stuff to take out of their bags to, you know, I'm just like, I take out my computer and I'm gone. I'm out. I'm on the plane. You know, but here's the thing about it is that when you go through, there's this X-ray machine, right? And there's this guy who stands behind the X-ray machine and he's looking inside of your bags. And if there's something that don't look right, right? What is he going to do? He's going to say, sir, could you come? Is this your bag? Yep. Yes. Well, could you come with me? And they're going to pull you off to the side. May I look into your bag? And so they're going to look at your bag because something don't look right, right? Before they allow you to go on to your destination, before they allow you to get on the plane, they're going to check your bag. You know, the Holy Spirit is like that X-ray machine. Do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit will check the stuff that's in your bag, and before you go on to your next destination, and some of y'all hung up right now, you feel like, man, why can't I go on from here to there? Why do I feel like I'm stuck and I can't go on, you know, to my next destination? It is because the Holy Spirit is checking your bags, and he even found something, and he can't allow you to get on the plane to go to your next destination because it don't look right. And I don't know about you, but there are some areas in my life that I just still feel stuck in. And have come to my mind that the Holy Spirit has been checking my bags. Somebody help me now. And the Holy Spirit is checking out your bags, and until he checks it out, and until you understand that, well, you know what, this don't supposed to be there, then you can't move on from where you are to where you need to be. In this prayer, the Apostle Paul is saying to the Thessalonians that the Holy Spirit is trying to check your bags. And he's saying there's a special work of the Holy Spirit called sanctification. Say it with me. Sanctification. And it sounds like a big, big word, but what it really means is that God is simply trying to take you from one place of the profane or living in sin to a place of holiness. That's all it really means. I want to read this passage of scripture and then try to unpack and unwrap what Paul is praying in this prayer. And in fact, I want you, as we go through this, I want you to start thinking about your own life and how you can be praying that God would help you to unpack some things in your own life and how you can start praying for others as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's look at this. This is now, may the God of peace, this is his prayer for his brothers at Thessalonica. He says, now may the God of peace himself do what? Sanctify you what? Entirely. And may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also, listen to this, he will bring it to pass. That's a powerful prayer that the apostle prays for his brothers and his sisters. And so what I want to do is just kind of break this down. First of all, I want you to see that Paul is praying for the spiritual components of sanctification. The spiritual components of sanctification. First of all, go back to 1 Thessalonians. Look at what he says. It says, now may the God of peace himself do what? Sanctify you entirely. Paul is talking about this God of peace. He's saying that God is referred to as the God of peace, and there is no real peace when you really think about it without God. He's saying the God of peace. And in fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, look at it. It says, therefore, having been what? Justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. So you can't have peace if you've never trusted Christ. You can't have peace. You can't have the peace of God. You can't have fellowship with God if you don't have the peace of God. You can't have the peace of God unless you've been justified. You can't be justified unless you've trusted Christ as your Savior. So Paul is praying that God will bring about peace or wholeness by satisfying or by sanctifying believers. Listen to this, completely. Now look at this another little word that I want to look at, because we want to talk about sanctify a little bit. I want to make sure you understand this. Now, this word sanctify, hagiazo, means simply this. It means to set apart, to separate from sin, to holiness. It means to get you out of that lifestyle where you're used to living, to bring you into this holiness of God. It is this, now, when it comes to us, sanctification is the spiritual process by which God increasingly sets believers apart from sin and moves us towards holiness. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to know, is that this whole process of sanctifying and sanctification is nothing new. It was in the Old Testament. In fact, when David was talking about God, this is how he viewed God. Look at Psalms 99, verse 9. He says, exalt the Lord our God. He said, worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is what? He is holy. So David understood that there are some things. Do you understand that there are some people who just don't understand what holiness is? Are you with me? They profane everything. They come in, and on a lower level, when kids come in with their shoes all dirty and you just vacuumed the rug. Am I going to get a little help right now? And they just disrespect everything that you've set aside as being clean in your house. And they come in and just with the dog and just destroy everything. And you just want to do something to them. But there are things that are God has set aside as holy. And in fact, God is holy. And there are some people that don't understand how God and how he's set aside, and God is extremely holy. He is an awesome God. In fact, his name is even holy. Look at Psalms 99, verse 3. The Bible says, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is what? Holy. Look at Psalms 119, verse 9. He says it again. He says, he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and what? Awesome is his name. And Cara says, amen. That's what she said right there. Don't need nobody else to say amen. Cara said amen. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. It said, then God blessed God. You see, even time is holy. See, God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified. Why? Because he rested on that day. So time is even holy to God. In fact, years can become holy. Look at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 11. He's talking about the year of Jubilee, where God set aside the 50th year to be a special year. Why? Because he wanted to set people free. Okay? Places are holy to God. Canaan land was holy to God. Jerusalem, the tabernacle, was holy to God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. God set aside the nation as holy. He said the nations also will know that I am the Lord. Sanctify what? Israel. Israel was set aside as being holy. Children should be set aside as holy. Job set aside his own children to be holy. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 5. He says, so it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. Who would he sanctify? His children. Because he said, I don't know what they're doing. It could be that they're bricking somebody's car, or egging some bus, or tearing up the neighborhood. He said, so he would do this what? Continuously. Fathers, we need to sanctify, pray over, set aside our children as being what? Holy. We were watching this video the other day. It just broke my heart. It was a video of a little kid on a bus terrifying and beating up another little kid. They were probably only 7, 8 years old, and he was just beating this little kid half to death. And we were thinking, well, I wonder what happens at home. And how he has seen this taking place. And so he just felt so comfortable just beating another little boy right there. And while someone was videotaping it, he just didn't seem like it was anything abnormal, just demolishing another little kid. And that's why we need to set aside our children as holy. So in the Old Testament, we see that God sets aside things as holy. In the New Testament, God set aside John the Baptist as to be holy, sanctified, to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to read all of that. That's in Luke chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. If you want to jot that down, you can read it later. Luke chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. John was the forerunner. God set aside his own son, the Messiah, for the redemptive work of bringing us to God. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the what? Holy Spirit. Jesus was set aside because he is holy. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. Jesus himself set aside apart the disciples for the work of the ministry. Look at Mark chapter 3. The Bible says that he went up to the mountain and he did what? He called to him those he himself wanted to be with him. They were considered men of God. They were set aside to do holy work. And God is calling us to do the same. God is calling you. God has a call in your life. He is calling you to himself to do his work. Amen. The early church set aside the first deacons in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. You can just jot this down. You can look at it later. But they called the first deacons, set them aside because they were men of character to do the work of the ministry. Now, I want you to know something about sanctification, because sometimes we just don't understand what is really going on with this thing, because it sounds such a very spiritual word, but when you really break it down, it's very, very practical. In fact, as a believer, there are three elements that define believers' sanctification. Number one, there is what we call positional sanctification. And so when you first received Christ, you were positionally sanctified. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. It says, by that will we have been what? Sanctified. You are sanctified. Turn to somebody and say, I'm sanctified. You are sanctified. You have been sanctified. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been sanctified. And all of this will culminate into what we call perfect sanctification. One day you will be perfect. Can you imagine that? Wives, y'all looking at your husbands right now? One day they will be perfect. We will be perfect someday. And you will be too. I think some of the women will take more sanctification than the men when we get changed in the final. I'm not saying that, but I just need the men to kind of stay with me on that. That's not biblical. That's in the book of Michael. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. He's talking about perfect salvation. He says, but we know that when he, Jesus, is revealed, we shall be like him. One day we will be perfect. That's a blessing to know that we will be just like him. Somebody say amen to that. Then there is what we call practical salvation. That's what's going on right now. That is what Paul was praying about. He was praying that the church, that you start to understand that God is wanting you to work out your salvation. He's wanting you to be what? Sanctified, and that we start to live like we've been called. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us, what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So as a Christian, we have the responsibility. Now, first of all, let me back up. So positionally, right, we are sanctified. In a perfect sense, we will be sanctified when we see Jesus, when we go to heaven. But right now, right, we are to say, Lord Jesus, I'm going towards heaven, and I need to be just like you. So the stuff, the baggage that's in my life that you want to take out, Lord, here I am. And so as Christians, we can't go around saying, well, you know how I am. You know how I used to curse people out. You know, I still curse people. Well, you know what? That might be true. But you still need to be saying, Holy Spirit, change me. You cannot be saying, I'm claiming it. I got a filthy mouth and I cuss all the time. You can't claim that as a Christian. Yes, some of us are still mean-spirited. Can I help? Can I? Some of us have still got problems with looking in other directions when it comes to, you know, the opposite sex, even though we're married and we're tempted. But you know what? You can't claim that. You can't just say, well, you know, I'm weak. Baby, you gotta forgive me. She was looking good. Oh, she was fine. And you just say, well, you know, I'm weak. No, no, I know you weak. That's why you need to go to church. And you need to fast and you need to pray, but you need to get that stuff out of your life. Because God is saying to you, you need to walk in holiness. See, the church don't call people to holiness anymore. To live like the life that we've kind of stooped down here where people live low in there, and for you to get them to come to church. Because if you're afraid that if you're going to preach what God said, you won't have no one. So what? God is awesomely holy. And we have to preach a holiness gospel. But you help people. You come alongside of people. You don't condemn people, but you come alongside of people. Are you with me? He's holy. Pastor, but you don't know where I live. I understand, but listen to me. Some of the places in which we live on the internet and in our homes make Sodom and Gomorrah look like a daycare. But you know what? See, God still calls us to sanctification. In fact, that's why God was, I want you to look at this verse again. Look at, because he's praying for the spiritual components of sanctification. He wants you to know that you are not responsible for doing this yourself. And that's the problem I had as a brand new Christian, because I still had stuff and baggage in my life. And I was like, I can't do this. And I didn't have anybody telling me. I couldn't find men that would be honest with me and say, I'm struggling too, bro, but this is what I do. That's why I love the men's class, the men's fellowship, is because we get together and we all looking around saying, you too? Me too. You too? Me too. You too? Me too. That's why I like the men's fellowship, because everybody's there saying, me too. Somebody help me. That's why he's praying this prayer. He's saying, look, you don't do this by yourself. That's such a blessing to know that. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23a. He says, now may the God of peace, listen to this, himself. There are some things you got to do yourself in your house. There are some things that you cannot delegate to little kids to do. There are some things, if you want your door shut at night, you don't go say to a two-year-old kid, I need you to go, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go downstairs, lock all the... No, you go downstairs as an adult and you lock the door. The Bible says God himself. He didn't delegate this to the church. He didn't delegate this to a small group. He did not delegate this to you, a kumbaya moment for you holding somebody's head. The Bible says God himself sanctify you, what? Entirely. It is God who will do this work. You don't have to go around hitting yourself up in the head saying, I can't do this. Of course you can't do it. God assigns redemption to the Son. He gives world evangelism to the church. Listen to this. Conviction of sin is delegated to the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says God himself will sanctify you completely. He will do it himself. You don't have to do it. You just have to cooperate. Give up the bag. Put the bag on the conveyor belt. That's the problem. Some of us try to go around the other way. Oh, you see, there's nobody looking. And try to go around the conveyor belt. Try to go around. No, God says, put it right there. And let me look at your life. Notice the extent of sanctification. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. Notice what he says, entirely. He says, entirely. The word entirely is from two compound words, the Greek words, holos, which means whole and complete, and teles, which means end and finish. And Paul was praying this. He says that he will sanctify you all the way through until the end. Through and through. Entirely. That's amazing when you think about that. Is that God was saying, I will attack every area of your life if you allow me to do it. And if you're like me, that blows your mind because you're saying, no one. I've not even told anybody about this area in my life. No one knows this. This is a secret. And you haven't given up to anybody. In fact, you haven't even prayed about it because you are afraid that somehow God is going to ink you out. Don't you know he already knows everything? He says entirely. He prays for these spiritual components. And look, in fact, he starts to pray for the human components because sanctification is very, very practical. You see, look at what he says in the second part of that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're still in the same verse, B. He prays for the human components. He says, may he sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved, complete. You got to understand where these Thessalonians lived at. They lived in this Greek culture, right? They lived in a Greek culture, and the Greeks were influenced by a philosophy which taught them that the man's spirit was good, but the body was bad. In other words, when they were weak in their body, they basically just said, like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. They lived like that. They lived like most Christians live. They were more influenced by the devil than by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. So, therefore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, look at that verse. It says, here's what Paul was trying to do. He's trying to convince the Corinthians the same thing. He says, or do you not know that your what? Your body. He's saying, look, man, the human components of sanctification are very practical. Let's start with your body. Your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit, who is what? He's in you. Isn't that amazing? Is he in you? Is the Holy Spirit in you? That means your body does not belong to you. It says, whom you have from God, and you are what? Not your own. Verse 20 goes on to say, for you were what? Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your what? Your spirit, which are what? God's. Why, Paul? Why do I need to do that? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 13. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, something bad is going to happen to you. You will what? Die. That's the problem. You will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what?
Live.
You will live. You'll live. You'll be happier. You'll be more joyful. If you do things God's way, I figured this out after being a Christian for over 35 years. I figured this out and I've stopped fighting God. Okay? Now, every now and then, there's flesh. It will do like this. Rear up on your back. Are you with me? Help me now. I'm just trying to be real. Every now and then, your flesh will rear up and say, I ain't gonna do God's word today. The devil is a lie. Oh, yes, you will. And sometimes I've been putting Brother Kevin's suggestions to use in the morning. And I used to do this, but I've gotten away from it. But now I'm back on it again because I realize the flesh, the devil, and the world don't like me. In fact, they're trying to kill me. And so in the morning, the first thing out the chute, I'm trying to listen to some Christian music. It don't take me long to get myself together in the morning, but that 5 minutes is critical for me because all kind of thoughts come to my mind. And I don't even take a bath on Saturday, if you don't have to, why waste water? My wife tell me I don't take my bath on Monday. Yes, I do. I just get up early than she does. But while you're getting yourself together, while you are just doing mundane things, you should be building up the Spirit of God inside of you. Somebody say amen. Amen. I remember when before my daughter Patience was born, I used to sing to her. That's why she's tone deaf today. But I just tried to just say anything I could. I would sing Christian songs to her. I would say, yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, and you love your daddy, and you love God. And so I remember when she was first born, and she was suckling Kevin. And the very first day, and I prayed for her. Well, the first time I saw her, I prayed for her. She turned around, and she said, oh, what a beautiful voice. She noticed who I was. And that's what I want my spirit to do. I want my spirit to recognize God. I want my spirit to recognize the things of God. And I want my spirit to recognize when the devil is trying to attack me. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so you should arm yourself with the Word of God. You should read as many times as you can. You should listen to Christian music as many times as you can a day. Just saturating your life with it so that you can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So, God himself, the spiritual components, he will do it entirely. The human components, God is after your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now look at sanctification's goal, number three. Look at that Paul is praying for this goal in mind. Paul is saying, look, I want you to be complete. Look at this verse again. He says, look, I want you to be preserved, listen, complete and without blame at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a prayer to pray for your kids. What a prayer to pray for your family and your spouse. I want you to be blameless when Jesus comes back. I want you to be without spot. I want you to be complete. This word complete means this. It means to be with integrity. It means total. It means intact. It means undamaged. I don't know about you, but when I was getting married, man, I wanted to be all of that. All right? And when two people come together to be married, you want them to be intact. You don't want them to have all that baggage, although we do bring what baggage to marriage. Somebody say amen to that. And we need to get rid of it as quickly as we can. But I remember I went to the shower and I was so excited. Not only did I take a shower. Somebody say amen to that. I use deodorant. I don't know why y'all looking at me strange. I took a shower, but I took another shower. Because I wanted to be clean. Because I was going to put on my tux. And I know that girl was going to be looking shiny. Like my mother used to make us. And she would, just make sure you look good. So you wanted to look like presentable. You wanted everything to be complete, intact. You wanted to be integrity. You wanted to be looking good. Say amen. That's what God wants. God wants us to be ready for him when he comes back. God wants you to be intact. God wants you to be complete. God wants you to be total, undamaged. He don't want you walking with a limp when he comes back and splits the cloud. He wants you to be victorious in your life. That's what he wants from you. The Apostle Paul tried to describe this union of the church and Jesus coming together. Here's what he said. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. He says, let us rejoice and let us be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus, has come and his bride, the church, has made herself what? Ready. God wants us to be ready. And how can you be ready wallowing in your sin, talking about the devil? Well, you know, the devil got me down. No, Jesus is victorious. And Jesus will clean you up, make you intact. He will make you total, give you the integrity, and make you undamaged as you yield yourself to him. Somebody say amen to that. How did she make herself ready? Look at verse 8. It says, it was given to her, I don't know if this is on the screen or not. It says, it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen, listen to this, is the righteous acts of the saints. How does she clean herself up? By right living. By living right. How does she live right? By allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. It says, without blame. Without blame. Without blame. The Greek word is amemptos. It is the word amemptos. When the Thessalonians, when they died, when they would put a coffin in a cave or whatever, they would write on the coffin amemptos. They found these all over in this culture. It just simply meant without blame or blameless. What a great word to put on your tomb. Blameless. That's what I want on mine. And how can we do that? Simply because of what God has done in our life. Blameless. Somebody say amen to that. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present herself to him as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, but holy and blameless. And number 4, as we close, the last thing, sanctification's guarantee. He prays for sanctification's guarantee. He says, faithful, listen to this, faithful is he who calls you. And he will do what? He will bring it to pass. Faithful is he who what? Calls you, and he will bring it to pass. You don't have to look around and say, man, how in the world is this going to happen? The Bible says that God is faithful, and he has already said that he is going to bring it to pass in your life. You can count on that. That is a guarantee to you as a believer. God says that he's going to sanctify you and bring your life to a place where you shine. Amen to that. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said this. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has what? Begun a good work in you. You have something good going on inside of you today, and he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise to you. Somebody say amen. Paul said that this is what is going to happen. Look at 1 Corinthians, my last verse that I want to focus on. That is this. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9. I have a couple of takeaways I want to give you, though. He says, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be what? Blameless on the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, who has called you to his fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Amen. You got to get excited about that one. Amen. He's faithful. He will do this work in you, and he will bring it to a completion. Now, here are some practical takeaways for you. Number one, sanctification does not remove the presence of sin in our lives. But here's what it does. But it purges, it removes from us the love of sin. Yes, amen. Do you get that? Titus chapter 2, for the grace of our Lord, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly lusts and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Number 2, sanctification occurs in the mind and in the heart of the believer. It is not so concerned with modifying one's outside behavior, because once the heart and the head are changed, the heels follow. Do you understand that? Once the heart and the head are changed, your feet follow. You don't have to try to set up all these rules and regulations. The thing to focus on for your children is to make sure their heart is changed. Right. Because if their heart is changed, their heels will follow. You understand that? Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, well, the kingdom of God is not what? Eating and drinking. In other words, it's not ritual. But it's peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Number three, sanctification does not mean that the believer will not sin, but it does mean that he will discontinue living a lifestyle of sin. Okay? You won't be going around saying, the devil made me do it and I like it. As a believer, you just don't live like that. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God will what? Continue in sin or continue to sin. Number four, sanctification involves the renewing of the mind. If you really want this process to start in your life, you need to start memorizing and reading the Word of God. It's kind of like going back to what Kevin suggested. I was like, man, I used to do that all the time. I just used to take advantage of the time that I had. Like in your car, what do you listen to when you're driving? You know, you could be listening to the Word. You could be listening to Christian music and let it build you up. Or you could be listening to other stuff that just eventually gets into your spirit. And you're like, yeah, I liked it. But then you know what? It's taken away totally your appetite for spiritual things. Right. And then when you start hearing about the Holy Spirit, you just totally don't even want to listen to it anymore. Why? Because you've replaced, you've profaned the holy, and you've just like, now your appetite is toward worldly things, even though you are a believer. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Number five, final. Positive change occurs as the Holy Spirit continually uses God's word in your life. Positive change occurs as the Holy Spirit continually uses God's word. This is so important. It is the word of God. The Bible says, sanctify them. This is Jesus. This is what Jesus prayed. He says, sanctify them by your what? Truth. Your word is what? Truth. So if you want to grow, read the word of God.